You're listening to WISR 680 AM 107.5 FM. This is our extended news at noon. I'm Tyler Frio. Continuing on with our election coverage, today's focus is the 12th District. This is the newly formed, I should say newly redesigned district in the southwestern tier of Butler County. Three candidates running in the Republican primary. Joining us by phone is Stephanie Shalaba, who is seeking the seat in the Republican primary. Stephanie, thanks for joining us and welcome to the show.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So we start out with this question for almost every candidate. Why are you running for election?
Sure. No, I think that's a good question. And for me, it's a pretty personal one. If you've come to any of the events that I've spoken at, or if I've knocked on your door, you'll have asked that likely and heard the response that I'm about to say now, which is, you know, there's two major life events that happened to me in the last 2 years. We had a child. His name's Teddy, Theodore, but we call him Teddy, and he's just the absolute light of our lives. And so I'm very personally invested in his future, you know, and for the last 7 years, I have a wonderful job at a fantastic law firm, Eckert Stevens, downtown Pittsburgh. And, you know, if I'm in private practice, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. But, you know, the other thing that happened, so you have a baby and you start to see life a little differently. And then, you know, my mom died last year too. And she was my absolute role model for my entire life. And she was the first female assistant district attorney, and not in the Skip Fitton County where I grew up, in Cambria County, about an hour away. And what she did with her life, you know, a sort of a secondary effect that I didn't expect when she started to get real sick. And then when she ultimately passed it last year in 21, was not just reflecting on her life, but reflecting on my own and our own, like, and sort of in the collective too, of all of us, you know, the humanity in general, if you will. And I don't want to be too esoteric, but, you know, life goes really fast. It's real short. You're never promised the next day, and you realize what really matters. And so all of that together, you know, with the current representative, Darrell Metcalf, not seeking reelection. And yeah, I have the experience. I have the energy now to make a change. So I thought, you know, this opportunity might not happen again. And when I have the ability and the drive to do it now, I'm never going to make the world better by waiting, you know. So that's why I'm running.
If for some candidates, there's one big initiative that really pushed them to get involved into public service. Is there one big issue for you that you would really like to see addressed in Harrisburg?
Yeah, there's a few. And I think that, you know, the majority of the Republicans are working hard on this. And I think that if I had to pick from the list, and this might come from maybe, you know, my background, for 7 years, I've been doing data privacy, cybersecurity, and healthcare. I see firsthand why we're driving people out and businesses out of Pennsylvania. Now, I'm going to try to stay a little bit on my lane here. But at the same time, I think these two things go, well, I'm going to end up saying all three of these things go together, but you got to keep the businesses and the people here if we want to thrive. So that's one thing, you know, you got to really make sure that you're enacting pro-growth policies. And I don't just mean growing pocketbooks of businesses. I mean, people too. We really need to rein in excessive spending. I'm not for unnecessary taxation. I saw this with my own mom. You know, we're one of the few states that have inheritance tax. So all of that is sort of on my hit list, if you will, and, you know, or hit list, punch list, whatever you want to call it. But some of the bigger, more core concepts too, I think that are important to me, or core issues, are what our children are learning in school, and then protecting our freedom of speech. And so that's, again, coupled all, it's funny, like I told you I was going to connect all of these. So the Second Amendment, we're seeing so much regulation on this and infringement, in my opinion. And that is the one I was just endorsed by GOA, and I'm going to have a recommendation from FOAC. And, you know, I think it's because it's not just that I'm the only one actually who has a license for firearms in the state, but so I understand and I actually exercise that right. But I also get the bigger picture. It's not just the right to have arms for the sake of having arms. It's because it protects all the other important rights, which this is where I was going to lead into with being a lawyer, is freedom of speech. If we lose that exchange of thought and that marketplace of ideas and differing opinions, if we lose that, which we're chilling speech, protected speech, especially every single day, we're not, the outlook for our country is not good. And we're going to start seeing more questions of next elections, we're going to start seeing, silenced people, even a silenced majority, because they're functioning in isolation. They're afraid to share their thoughts. And so coming in from a data privacy, cybersecurity perspective, you know, I understand how, and it's sort of interesting, when you look at the platforms and the regulations that social media giants and tech companies are dealing with and contending with every day, that's what I've been advising them on, is how do you comply, or, or do you need to in the first place? And I think that there is a way that you can ensure that you are not permitting, or that you can stop social media giants who have now become, honestly, news hubs. You know, it's not just a smaller platform. I mean, I remember when Facebook first started, and it was just a place where you had one picture and you could post on a wall, and you basically just said hello and hi. Now look at it today. It's unrecognizable from where it started. And that is where people go to get news. So you have to make sure that you are making policies in place and laws that require those sort of news entities now, if you will, to make sure that they are not limiting and restricting free speech just because they don't agree with it.
Is that something that you think state government can play a role in? Because, when you talk about First Amendment, Second Amendment, these are federal, constitutional mm-hmm. federal issues. Where do you think the state government steps in that role?
Yeah, well, so we still have freedom of speech here. We have a lot of rights in our Constitution. And on top of that, that's the floor. And so we aren't, obviously we're part of the United States, right? So it's not a total separation. We're still responsible, and we still have the ability to enact policies they're trying it down in Florida right now. If we have the ability to require notification of data breaches, we have the ability to make sure that they have free platforms, freedom of platforms, I should say, that they can't just go around and censor people.
I do want to ask you about education. What is your view of the public school system? There have been more advocates in Harrisburg who have been talking about school choice. Do you think public schools are adequately funded? And would there be any changes that you would have liked to see made to the public schooling system?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we're at sort of a crossroads here. And, it's one that's been coming for some time. And we're starting to see data. Now, I had the benefit of going to both. I went to a public school. I also went to a Catholic school. And I ended up finishing my high school education at a Catholic school. And I guess I started and finished. And I had a Catholic school, and I had intermission, I guess. Not intermission, but part of my career or education, I was in a public school. And so in middle school and early high school. And so I saw firsthand the differences in education. And, I think that that's something that I don't know why. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why our public schools are not faring as well. It could be that sometimes more well-to-do people are able to go to a private school. It could be that they are not getting the funding that they need. But at the same time, I'm realizing and I recognize that, they have more funding, public schools have more funding than the private schools do. And so I think it's something that we need to really, really look at and see, because the data, when it's been tried elsewhere, have showed that if you increase school choice, and I've seen this knocking on doors and talking to constituents and voters too, there are people who want to send their child to a different school and they can't. And they can't afford it because they can't afford to pay both tuition and their property taxes, at least the parts that go into the schools. And so there's a case to be made for school choice. And I think it's something we really need to consider.
We're talking with Stephanie Shalaba. She is a Republican candidate for the 12th House District. Speaking of funding, want to talk a little bit about transportation funding. Gas tax revenues are down. There's, with mileage of cars, gas mileage of cars, people aren't filling up as much at the pump. Electric vehicles have also taken away of that. So essentially, what do you find to be a viable way to fund roads and bridges in Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's something that's going to continue when we start to add more taxes and more fees. People are just going to start refraining. And everyone now has gotten, over the last 2 years, everyone's gotten used to staying at home. And so they're not afraid now to avoid travel, to avoid some pain at the pump. And so You know, I think that it's an economic issue and a public safety issue at the same time for funding, because you don't want what just happened in Pittsburgh, right? We absolutely do not want bridges collapsing. I think everybody on both sides of the line would agree with that. But, you know, we can't keep being our biggest enemy. And so we need to have the infrastructure necessary to support our communities' safety and grow them and the economy, too. But we can't keep increasing taxes at the pump and fees for registrations, licenses, inspections, you name it. So, you know, the money is there. I firmly believe that. It just needs to be used appropriately. I think that one of the biggest culprits in our budget deficits and our issues is waste and fraud. You know, so if we reduce waste, fraud, and welfare and other social programs, couple that with deregulation of the industries, really unleashing Pennsylvania as the powerhouse of the state, you know, with the resources we have here, I think all of that's going to dramatically improve the various ailments that we're seeing. And, you know, I hate to say it, but maybe people are going to disagree with me, but we don't need to have growing pains when we expand our economy, when we start to tap into our resources. We don't need to go through growing pains. We just need to get out of our own way.
Want to talk about election laws, Act 77. It did pass with bipartisan support. However, since 2020, there have been a push to essentially repeal the act. What fixes do you think would you be in favor for, I should say, for changes in election laws?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I think we need to revert back to what is in the Constitution. So there's a lot of issues with Act 77. You know, there's a difference, too. I think this is important between absentee ballots. Absentee voting because you have a medical condition, you're out of state. That's fine. That's legal. We've had that forever. Typically don't have an issue with it. But we cannot do just a convenience on demand mail-in ballots. We can't do it. You know, no excuse mail-in voting. First of all, it's not constitutional. Second of all, we've seen, even if you don't think that there were issues with the election, we've seen the perception of issues, right? Even if there weren't issues, there's a perception out there. When people start to, this is the same as the speech, you start losing speech, you start losing faith in our elections, we're setting ourselves up for a very dismal outlook.
Where do you, and again, we're here with candidate for state representative Stephanie Shalaba. This is in the 12th district.
State rep. That's fine.
what is your view? A lot of people look at Harrisburg, they see it as a fractured place where nobody can agree to anything. Act 77 actually was one of the rare bipartisan agreements that came out of Harrisburg. Where do you see the role of a state representative in trying to forge policy and form policy if there is a divided government by chance?
If there's a divided government by,
executive, you know, let's just say, basically, how do you work with Democrats if you were to be elected?
Yeah, so I think this is sort of where being a lawyer comes in handy, too. And, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't get things resolved. And so I'm not saying that you compromise, but I'm saying, and I guess the old saying is that, you know, it's a good compromise when nobody's happy, which I promise will not be my campaign platform here or what I set out to accomplish. But, you know, I can see and evaluate both sides. I think that when, you know, reasonable minds might differ, at least there's a chance if they're both being reasonable. I think issues come up whenever, you know, people aren't being reasonable or when they start to add riders onto something. You could have a pretty good bill, right? And you know, you're really going to do good for the district. You're going to do good for the state. You're going to do just good in general, right, for the people. And then you get a rider on there that just blows the whole entire thing up. So I think that if you go back, you look through the rules, maybe we could rewrite rules in the House and try to make sure, and the Senate would need to do this too. You know, one person can't change the whole system. But if you get enough like-minded people in there, you're going to get a consensus, you're going to get momentum, and we're going to actually start to see some movement down in Harrisburg.
She is candidate for the 12th district in the Republican primary, Stephanie Shalaba. Thanks again for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. You have a wonderful rest of your day, and thank you again for having me.
We'll continue on with our election coverage right after this.